Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we have a really great episode, folks, this week. We have Ralph Blumenthal, former New York Times reporter, and winner of a Pulitzer Prize, and author of The Believer, Alien Encounters, Heart Science, and the Passion of John Mack. Our special guest co-host is Tim Swartz, author of many thousands of books that they don't want you to read. Is that what it is, Tim?
Yeah, that's right. That they
want you to know.
Okay, Ralph, we were talking briefly before we got started, and welcome to the show. And you were mentioning you got started working as a journalist back in 1963 in Texas. How did that happen?
Well, I had finished at the City College of New York. I finished in the off year because I stayed an extra semester to edit the college paper. So I had some time on my hands before I was starting at Columbia Journalism School. So I went down to Texas to look around and ended up getting a job at a small suburban paper called the Grand Prairie Daily News Texan, part of a chain. And Grand Prairie, which doesn't exist anymore because it was wiped out for the airport outside Dallas. But that time it was a little typical dusty little Texas town with a little newspaper. And it was very exciting. It was a weekly. And, of course, I got to do everything. And I mean everything. I took the pictures, wrote the stories, edited the stories, pasted them into the paper. So it was a good education.
But you left before the Kennedy assassination, correct?
Right before. It's interesting because I got sort of wind of the climate down there. It was very ugly. I actually attended a meeting of some anti-Kennedy people for the paper. They had a meeting down by the riverside, very creepy, where they were talking about how much they hated the Kennedys. And, in retrospect, you could see the mentality, the climate. I'm not saying those people did it, but certainly they would celebrate it later.
So the fast question here, and of course we don't want to be too conspiratorial, but this is a paranormal radio show. We have to do that. Do you have an impression of the Kennedy assassination? Was it just Oswald or some underlying conspiracy?
No, it was Oswald. Years later, when I went down for the New York Times, I believe it was the 40th anniversary of the assassination, and I really retraced Oswald's steps from the book depository, the apartment he lived in with Marina. It was, Jack Ruby, where he killed Oswald in the police station. I retraced the whole thing and actually interviewed John Connolly's widow for the story in the New York Times. There's still things we don't know, obviously, about Oswald, but I came away convinced that Oswald definitely was the gunman, almost certainly the lone gunman, that it was not a really deep state conspiracy.
Why a conspiracy theory then? Is it because it seemed too simple for one crazy guy to do this deed?
Well, yeah, and, even John Connolly's widow, who I said I interviewed, she had an impression of two gunshots, I think. Official Warren Commission concluded, I think there were three. One bullet went through both Connolly and President Kennedy. One went astray. But she remembers hearing, I think, another shot, and so she came away thinking there was more to the story. So, yeah, there's plenty of room for conspiracies. I mean, the fact that it all worked out, this crazy guy, finds his way to the top of the Texas School Book Depository with a cheap Italian rifle, takes out the president, it really is almost too much to believe.
What about Jack Ruby? Towards the end of his life, dying of cancer, as I recall, he hinted at something more he'd want to say but never said it.
He could say that. I think the ground has been gone over. I mean, I would never say never, but we go with the evidence that we've, been able to put together, and everything I've seen, leads me to believe that that was pretty much it, that he was very enamored of the Kennedys, hated Oswald for, killing Jack, and in those days, security wasn't as tight as it is today. So a guy like Ruby, who was known to the Dallas police, of course, as a nightclub operator, easily could find his way into police headquarters with a gun and get right up to Oswald. So that's not really surprising, given the gun culture that existed then and now.
Now they have 1,000 times more guns, if that, and that's probably an underestimation there. Let's move to other things here. Obviously, UFOs, UAPs, flying saucers are also considered conspiracy-related, thinking that maybe the government knows the secret of the UFOs and they won't tell us, which is obviously something being claimed for the years. How did you personally get involved in this story that covers a Pentagon investigation?
Well, a couple things came together. I mean, I had been working since 2004, basically, on a biography of John Mack, the Harvard psychiatrist who investigated alien abduction, because I happened to be in Texas when I picked up one of his books. And right after that, he was run down and killed in London. Talk about conspiracies. I mean, that immediately set the Internet aflame with conspiracy theories. But again, we can talk about this in more detail. But I certainly satisfied myself from the police reports that it was not a conspiracy to kill John Mack. It was a guy who had too much to drink, and Mack looked the wrong way down the London street. They'd drive on the other side. So so I'd been working on this John Mack book since 2004. But in 2017, my friend Leslie Kane, who I'd gotten to know from my research, came to me with a very interesting story, and that's what found its way into the New York Times.
And then how did Helene Cooper get involved?
Well, what happened is Leslie came to me with a story that she had attended a meeting in Washington, D.C. This was in October 2017, and the meeting featured Lou Elizondo, who was the head of this then unknown Pentagon office to investigate UFOs. We called it ATIP. It went under different names. It had been around since 2007, but had never been written about. And because Leslie had such good contacts in the UFO field and the government field, they let her sit in on this meeting. And Lou Elizondo had been the head of this secret agency investigating UFOs called ATIP, and he was resigning because he was not getting enough support from the Pentagon. So, they showed Leslie some videos that had been taken off the West Coast of UFOs buzzing a carrier group. So she was very excited about that and came to me, and she had gotten clearance from them to tell the story about this, this ATIP and why it was set up and that Lou Elizondo was resigning. So I had left the Times in 2009 after 45 years, but I still had good contacts there. So I took the story to the Times, and they were quite excited about it, as you'd imagine, and decided that it was important to include a Pentagon correspondent who had good sources in the Pentagon, because we needed somebody who could, get good comments out of the Pentagon. So it was a natural call.
I understand. Let's do our break here. We have Ralph Blumenthal, former New York Times reporter, author of The Believer, which is about John Mack, who, of course, got involved with UFO abductions. We're talking about the early days of the story that became a very trend-setting, pace-setting report in the Times from 2017 on the Pentagon's UAP program. More to come with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Ralph Blumenthal, this information came to you from Leslie Kane. And as our listeners know, Leslie is a friend of the show. She's been a guest a number of times. And so we've always been happy to have her on. And so you brought this to New York Times. And being that Helene Cooper is the Pentagon person, she's the one who got involved?
Yeah, so the Times editors wanted to get somebody from the Washington Bureau with good Pentagon connections involved, and Helene was perfect choice. She's one of the people who covered the Pentagon. She was very familiar with naval operations. So when we came to the Pentagon with the story, obviously we needed to get confirmation of everything that we'd been told, and Helene was the perfect one to run that by the Pentagon.
Now, forgive me for calling her Helene. My sister-in-law is Helene, spelled the same way as Helene. Okay, now we understand how she got involved. Did she at all, prior to this, have any interest at all in the subject?
I don't think so, which is good, because, you know, John Mack also came to this subject pretty, you know, clean, as he thought, as he said. He had not had any sightings of a UFO, which made him a good person to pursue this, you know, this whole investigation, because he didn't have an agenda. And Helene also, as far as I know, was not, had, you know, not written about UFOs, didn't really have any particular interest, but she had interest in whatever the Pentagon was doing. And as it turned out, the Pentagon had been secretly monitoring these objects for quite some time.
Well, we know if we look back at the history, it goes back to the 1940s, but this obviously was something new compared to then, because Project Blue Book folded in 1969, and I gather they were glad to be done with it. Now, before we go into this story, because you were working on the bio of John Mack, how did you pick him as a subject to write a book about?
Well, he picked me, you know.
Okay.
Every book I've written is kind of creepy, but they kind of reach out to you. I mean, that's been my experience. And many authors will tell you that, you know, finding a subject is not, you know, an intellectual process of, you know, thumbing through a telephone directory or an encyclopedia and picking out a subject. But some weird things happen. It's like, you know, synchronicity. So what happened is, I started mentioning this story. I was down in Texas for the New York Times in 2004, and I picked up a used book from a, you know, used bookstore, and it was Passport to the Cosmos, which turned out to be John Mack's second book. And I read the book about, you know, by a Harvard psychiatrist who investigated stories of people who had come to him, patients and others, with accounts of you know, encountering or being abducted by alien beings. And he found this extremely strange. He was a noted psychiatrist, and he couldn't shake the stories. These people were adamant that this had happened. There was some fragmentary bits of confirmation, which we can talk about. Anyway, he tells this story in Passport to the Cosmos. And I was taken with the story, again, of Harvard psychiatrist who's on this strange quest. And I thought I would interview him for the Times. And now I had no idea that he was already very famous. He'd been in the New York Times. He'd been on Oprah. You know, he'd had quite a history. Before I could do anything, I picked up the paper one day and saw he'd been run over in London. He'd been run down at night. He was there for a conference. And so he was dead suddenly. And so that got me even more interested in the story. You know, who was he, and how did this happen, and how did he get into this strange subject? So I made contact with his family, and it took a while because they were in deep mourning, as you can imagine. But eventually I got access to all his records and his unpublished files and his you know, psychiatric sessions, both some of his patients and himself. So that got me started, and I worked on it for 17 years, basically on and off, until the book came out.
Okay, so that tells us how you got started. At the time that you were in touch with Leslie Kane, at the time the Times had finally commissioned this report on the Pentagon study, had you formed any personal opinions about any of this?
Well, you know, I knew enough to know that these were not figments of imagination. This was not These people were not mentally ill who were reporting this. The stories, I read many stories of sightings from people who, had good credentials. They were professional people. They were police officers and professionals, as well as farmers and housewives and children. So I did believe there was something to it. Yeah. It was not, there were not illusions or delusions. I didn't know, and I don't know to this day what this phenomenon, is constituted of or what it represents. But I certainly thought there was something to it.
When the Times commissioned this story, what kind of marching orders did you guys receive?
The usual, look, I'd been at the Times for 45 years, so they didn't have to tell me to, get the facts, get it accurately, get the quotes, get it all on the record. And that's what I think made this story so successful was that these were not anonymous sources, speaking off the record or on background. We had chapter and verse. We quoted people, including Lou Elizondo. We had some of the pilots who observed these objects. We did interviews with them. We had Lou Elizondo's service records, so we knew he wasn't a kook. We had everything on the record. And then we had these videos that the Navy did, took thermal imaging videos of these objects themselves, which caused a sensation when we put them out on the New York Times website.
Now, I've heard a couple of varying stories with regard to the structure of this program. And one of the reasons for that is because we had on Colm Kelleher, Dr. Kelleher, who worked with Robert Bigelow. And he, in the book that he co-wrote with George Knapp, identified the first program as Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Applications Program,
OSAP.
Or OSAP. Right. It was before ATIP. So were they the same organization with different names or what?
Yeah, it's very complicated, as you might expect a subject like this. The Pentagon was hardly transparent. ATIP was the public name, and it was not classified. I'm not sure about OSAP. But when the program was constituted in 2007, when Harry Reid got the money to fund it, it was originally known, internally certainly, as OSAP.
We have more to come. We're talking about the coverage of the New York Times and the work that Ralph Blumenthal, Helene Cooper, and Leslie Kane did to reveal this Pentagon program. More to come with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Russian forces are now shelling Ukraine. Russia claims that some of the shells fired were from a government-held part of eastern Ukraine and landed on their side of the border. Earlier, separatist leaders ordered a full military mobilization. President Biden and his defense chief are convinced that Russian leader Vladimir Putin has made the decision to invade. Secretary Lloyd Austin in Lithuania.
For months now, Russia has been building up its military forces in and around Ukraine, including in Belarus. They are uncoiling and are now poised to strike.
At a security conference in Munich, Vice President Kamala Harris warned that Russia would face unprecedented financial consequences if it attacks Ukraine. This is USA Radio News. Police have arrested more than 100 protesters involved in the so-called Freedom Convoy demonstrations in the Canadian capital of Ottawa, which officials said turned violent. The convoy protests began in late January and were initially focused on the Canadian government's vaccine mandate for cross-border truckers. But now it's expanded into a broader movement against public health measures to limit the spread of COVID-19. On Friday, police arrested more than 100 people and have had 21 vehicles towed in Ottawa. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act to allow the government to expand measures to end the protests, and pointed out to CNN that some people in the U.S. are funding the protesters. Officials in the U.S. are also concerned about a potential trucker convoy protest ahead of President Biden's State of the Union address on March 1st. According to CNN, you're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, Ralph, he's the man with 27 voices, so you'll forget that. let's continue here. Okay, so OSAP was like the internal name, and yeah. ATIP was the public name.
Right. To the extent that it was public at all. Now, this was not advertised because when we wrote about it in 2017, no one had ever heard of it publicly. So it's not as if this was a name that was used, bandied about. It was unknown, but it was more public, or at least it was a name that they used in case it became public or when it became public. So that's what made it complicated. And I know that Colm Kelleher and George Knapp have said that, yeah, there was a previous program that the Times didn't mention, but it was just too complicated to lay it all out for readers under the different names. So we kind of simplified it and said that in 2007, when Harry Reid got the money for it, the story we told, we called it ATIP.
Well, at least it makes it easier to figure out what's going on. The other thing we had heard, of course, is about Elizondo, that maybe his role was exaggerated. Contradictory statements from Pentagon spokespeople. What's that about?
This is really very sad that there was some effort underway after our story broke to degrade or, you know, minimize Lou Elizondo, take him down. As I said before, we had his service records, his commendation records. There wasn't a scintilla of doubt that he was who he said he was. He headed the program. We knew where he worked out of in the C-ring of the Pentagon. We knew who he reported to. We knew his colleagues. So it was, you know, we were not taken aback by anything that people said later. But there was some kind of an effort later. And by the way, it got worse later because he actually sued, and he has a case pending Lou Elizondo does against people who tried to malign him and put out a false picture of his minimizing his role. So you're absolutely right that there was an effort underway to take him down. But in our view, and we looked into this, it was completely without merit.
So what's the point of this nonsense? Were they trying to conceal what was going on? Why would they even get involved with this guy?
Well, you know, with this subject, it's a very controversial subject. And there are people in the Pentagon. First of all, when Lou Elizondo resigned in October 17, they didn't take it to Defense Secretary Jim Mattis for quite a while. They were afraid that Lou Elizondo's superiors did not know quite how to handle it, how to break the news to Jim Mattis. Mattis had a lot of other things on his mind, of course, you know. But it was, you know, there are different stresses and strains in the Defense Department. It won't come as a big revelation. There are some people who are very against the idea of investigating UFOs. There are fundamentalist strains in the Pentagon who believe that, you know, UFOs are demonic and, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with them.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. So that would explain why some people didn't want to touch this.
Well, I know that my late uncle, my wife's late uncle, Lewis Kaplan, or Evangelist Lewis Kaplan, was obviously at one time Jewish, but he became an evangelist for Jesus, and his group believed that UFOs were demonic.
It's not too hard to convince people that there's something demonic about them because they're so strange. And certainly people like Lou Elizondo thought they were worth studying. And, I think that's the prevailing view now, certainly since the report came out, the UAP report came out June 25th of last year. The task force, it was a short report, but it made some major breakthroughs in affirming that these things are real. So that, you know, the debate is over.
Well, it didn't say, hey, E.T. is here. But it didn't say it wasn't here. It seemed like a pretty straight ahead, down the middle report.
Well, it was, but we got to make very clear that this was not a report about aliens or alien intelligence. It was just a report on objects that turned out to be physical, as the Navy discovered that they were real. And that was the big breakthrough. The report stopped well short of trying to explain what they were, where they came from, you know, were they intelligently controlled, who was behind the wheel, all those questions, which are natural questions and really good questions and probably the most important questions, remain unanswered. But at least the Navy now affirmed, or the Pentagon in this UAP report affirmed that these things are real. They're not, delusions or optical illusions or fly specks on the windshield or all the other things that people said to throw the public off the track.
Now, I understood that they were supposed to have a follow-up report within 90 days. It never happened. Am I correct?
There's a new organization now.
Right.
So the UAP task force has been folded into this new group that is tasked with issuing another report. I forgot what the timing is, you know, how much time they have to do it. But I don't think that there was another report that was, whose deadline was missed. I think there's now a new organization that will, put out a new report. And so we'll see. I'm not, really up to on the latest on that, but there will be another report.
The money that Harry Reid originally secured for this program was rather minuscule compared to other Pentagon budgets. Do you think that this money was secured really just more of kind of a lip service? They want to look at UFOs, so, we'll just throw them a little bit here and maybe they'll just shut up.
No, not at all. I mean, this was serious money. It was a drop in the bucket compared to the rest of the Pentagon budget. $22 million doesn't go very far these days, but it was serious money. And it was enough to give Robert Bigelow funds to subcontract out for reports, many of which became public later. They were very arcane reports about physics and different wavelengths and all kinds of things that would help explain the phenomenon of UFOs. So the reports are not very sensational on the face of it, but that money did go some ways, and it was a serious commitment.
I know that one of the people that Bigelow reached out to was MUFON, but right. That relationship went a little bit crazy. You get different stories about it. That's, of course, part of what happens in the UFO field. You have competing interests fighting against one another.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a very unruly field. And, Leslie and I found this when we were doing our reporting. We were being second-guessed by different, UFO, fans or ufologists were tracking our calls. And if we spoke to somebody, they would put it out on the Internet that, Ralph and Leslie spoke to this person. That means they're doing this. And it really got to be very intrusive, and we were very unhappy about it. Nothing we could do. But that is the problem with the field of ufology, and not just ufology, but it's the whole problem with the Internet, that you can't police it. I mean, not that you'd want to, but we're not a police state. But the downside of that is that there's all kinds of misinformation. Things are twisted, and there's a lot of infighting, and the truth is often obscured in the process.
Well, as someone who's been following the UFO stuff since I was a teenager, I actually got started when I was 11, which is 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, as you might realize. I think you're maybe a couple of years older than I am, so you and I are both seniors. But even then, you had this interplay, this back and forth, this feuding. We've got more to come with Ralph, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, one thing parenthetically I've noticed about this is that, in a sense, this current interest in UFOs ignores the past. They don't think about all the tens of thousands of sightings that go back to right after World War II and even before. Did anyone ever ask them why the focus doesn't cover those cases?
Well, I mean, the UAP report was 9 pages long, so that was not going to go into a whole history. Also, it was a report on, I think, 140 sightings off the aircraft carrier group mainly, if not exclusively. So they were not going back to the whole history of, you know, sightings to World War II, the Foo Fighters. And, I mean, if you go back further, you go back to the 1880s, the Phantom airships. People have been spotting phantom aircraft, you know, back to before they were heavier than aircraft, before the Wright brothers. And then if you go back to, you know, folklore and ancient annals, thousands of years they've been talking about strange objects in the skies. So, you know, the UAP report was not going to go into that history. First of all, the history's been written about in many, many books. What the value of the UAP report was that this was an official government agency talking about 140 reports, all of which, except one, were unexplained. You know, I don't think they were covering up the history of earlier sightings. They just didn't, they weren't dealing with that.
What about this new office to which that's being folded into? And the new emphasis from the 2022 Pentagon budget, will that go back into the historical record, or is it still going to just look forward?
I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see. No government agency, I think, is going to deal with sightings by civilians. I mean, that whole field is not scientifically controlled. So, there's a huge record of these sightings, as I said, going back hundreds, if not thousands of years. But the reports are very hard to, obviously, to verify. And they run the gamut between reports that were verified by or corroborated by other people, you know, all kinds of, it runs the gamut, a spectrum of you know, credible to not credible. So no one's going to deal with that in, on an official basis. So, but I think the new government agency, the Gillibrand, I guess, it's gotten sort of taken her name of Senator Gillibrand of New York, who was instrumental in setting it up. I think we'll come out with some kind of a new report, and that will take will move the ball forward.
Let's get back to the genesis of this. After the story came out, you had some follow-ups. What kind of feedback did you get from, shall we say, sources outside of ufology?
We had a lot of good cooperation. First of all, we made contact with pilots like Dave Fravor. We did a story about him and what he'd seen. We did a sidebar to the main story. We interviewed Ryan Graves and another pilot, and we got their accounts of close calls with these objects and the fact that the official Navy records recorded these close calls. I mean, you know, pilots said that they just missed hitting one of these objects. So that added, you know, corroboration that these were official Navy reports. And, you know, we kept reporting, and we're still reporting, by the way. Leslie and I were still poking around trying to move the story forward. But the last thing we did was look into the question of a possible material recovery.
What about the involvement of Tom DeLonge, the To the Stars agency? That's one where Elizondo and some other people got involved for a while. Did that make things worse, better, or what?
Well, it's an interesting question. Tom DeLonge, you know, set up this To the Stars Academy, which was an effort to look into the to fund you know, research into the UFO phenomenon. He did attract, you know, some very important, prominent people, including Lou Elizondo. It was also partially an entertainment effort, a company. So it kind of mixed in, you know, science and entertainment, which is why we were very careful to differentiate ourselves at times from, you know, from his effort. We welcomed, you know, what he did, and he did some important things, but that was his effort, and we did not want to be lumped in with an entertainment effort where people couldn't differentiate between science and fiction. So that's where, you know, we were very careful not to lump ourselves in with his academy.
Are there any particular piece of information significant that you have not as yet published because maybe you were told not to or you haven't had a chance to fully verify it?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I'm not going to talk about because we haven't verified it, but the big questions are still out there. You know, what's behind these things? You know, but the New York Times was very careful in limiting our stories, and properly so, to what could be established on the record. You know, again, we didn't take off the record information or speculation. Or we're continuing to work, and there are many, many important questions, and it's not hard to figure out what they are. But it's hard to get the information. First of all, a lot of this field is classified. I mean, a lot of the observations, you know, recorded by Navy and Air Force personnel. Air Force kind of lagged behind for reasons that are interesting. But very little has come out officially. So that's part of the problem. And, you know, we the stories we put out have been not classified. You know, we have not broken the law, and we won't.
Well, they should stay out of trouble that way.
Yeah.
But then, of course, dealing with a sprawling agency like the Pentagon, which in any way, sense, or form is disorganized because of its size, has to make things difficult. I want to ask you just a parenthetical question. I know Tim has some from the next segment. And that is, we're seeing these very positive quotes from two former heads of the CIA, Brennan and who's the other guy? I can't think of who the other guy is right now, but I will in a second. Woolsey. And they say the subject should be investigated further. And the question I had with that is, if you're head of the CIA, and this goes back to the days of Helen Carter, back in the early days, and he was a friend of Major Kehoe, wouldn't the head of the CIA know everything about the subject that the military knows?
No. One of the things we found out is that it's a very compartmentalized, stovepiped. Even the president doesn't know, especially, I could say, almost the president does not know everything. You know, you might think, well, the president has to know everything. Well, the president can know what he wants to know, I'm sure, if he tries hard enough, but he's got a lot on his mind. A lot of this information is squirreled away in different special access programs, both in the government and it contractors, private contractors, defense contractors who are not in the government. So it's a very, very complicated business where information is held, who has it. And even Lou Elizondo, as we reported and others, had trouble getting access to certain information. Harry Reid tried to get Elizondo cleared for special access programs and failed. And the information is very closely held in different nooks and crannies of the government. And that's been one of the hallmarks of this whole business.
Well, the common conspiracy theory, and this will extend to our next segment, and I know Tim Swartz has questions. The common conspiracy theory is that the government does know. There is some organization, group, whatever, within the government that knows the secret of the UFOs, a silence group or whatever, and if you give them the proper incentive, they're going to disclose everything. We have these advocates feeling that's going to happen, which, of course, as we all know, never seems to happen. The book is The Believer, which we'll be talking about in a few minutes with its author, Ralph Blumenthal, co-author of the pieces the New York Times wrote on the Pentagon's UAP investigations. With Gene, Tim, and Ralph, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.